Jenna, is there any place better than Target?
No. So let's talk about Target Circle. It's the same program you know and love now with automatic deals.
Did you know the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target?
So now when you shop in-store or online, Target Circle deals will be automatically applied at checkout.
Plus, with the unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's.
Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership.
That's $50 off the regular price. And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you save an extra 5% your way every day.
Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35.
For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast, and I had the opportunity to talk to one of Hollywood's major icons, Michael B. Jordan. In our conversation, Michael shares the highs, the lows, and everything in between, offering a genuine glimpse into his world.
The closest to getting what you want is always the hardest. People give up right before they get what they've always wanted to get.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And that's what you really missed with Jenna
and Kevin, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Welcome to And That's What You Really Missed podcast. This is Darren Chris, part two. Boo, 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 boo.
He's the best storyteller. This episode could have been 8 hours long, and I wouldn't have been mad.
We literally don't have to do anything. He just has to talk.
Yeah, it's great.
And in like the best way possible.
Yeah, just prompt him a little bit, and then he just goes. So, without further ado, here's the rest of our conversation with Darren Criss.
What was your favorite Warbler song to do, and speaking of music?
I mean, gosh. I'm sure people ask you guys all the time what your favorite number was, and it's hard because there were so many. And so there's the differentiation between what was fun to a song I liked next to how much fun I had like shooting it,
right?
And like what the day was, you know?
Yeah we have a hard time separating like seasons that way because we're so attached to some seasons, and then it's the memory versus watching it.
I remember the making far more than I remember the seeing it, because I haven't watched many episodes of Glee, not by avoiding it, just because I just never got around to it. So or I would watch the premieres with you guys, which I always loved. I didn't ever want to watch it not with the people I made it with.
Totally.
Like if I missed, because listeners should know that we would at lunchtime. I loved that. That's such a fun memory.
It was the best.
At lunchtime, we would go into one of the theaters and watch whatever we had just made. And with the people we made it with, and everyone's rooting for each other.
Especially with the crew. It's so cool to watch with them.
Yeah, and everyone's having a laugh and knowing what it was like to make. And so if I missed those for whatever reason, if I wasn't there that day, then I would just like never see the episode, because I only wanted to experience it with the people that I made it with. Yeah, that was really, really, really special. But having said that, my memories are more tied to the days, so... and I definitely I watched all the musical numbers for sure, like, you know, because they'd be on YouTube or whatever, so I would have an ability to see them much easier than like if I missed it at 9 o'clock at 8 o'clock on Tuesday.
Totally.
Then that was
totally
sort of it. But I don't know, for Warbler stuff, I mean,
there's definitely a fan favorite. I think,
what's a fan favorite?
Somewhere Only We Know.
Yeah, Somewhere Only We Know, I cannot believe became a fan favorite, because that didn't really emerge to my attention until like the pandemic and TikTok. It was like when I was doing the show, like Teenage Dream, that was like the moment for me and for everybody. And I love Teenage Dream. Like I'm happy to do it. I love playing it at concerts. It's my favorite. Like no complaints about that song at all. There are so many funny things about Somewhere Only We Know. Which is the resurgence of it that happened. I think there was like on TikTok, it was like a slowed down version of it or something, and that got picked up, and that was, and then that shot up as at least on streaming. Not that that's the the marker of like, well, it is. Totally. It frankly, it is. It is the marker of if
it's
what
the most streamed song
out
of all the Glee songs on Spotify. I think.
Shut up, really?
I think it might be. Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was the most streamed as one of my of mine. But if it is, that's because of TikTok, because there's a new audience. So I. Guys, Keane was like one of my favorite bands in high school.
I mean,
like, wow.
We've talked about our love for Anglophilic shit. Kevin, you and I love
big
records
fans of Keane.
From England.
Yes.
We love Keane. We love McFly. We have like we obsess with British pop charts. We've talked a lot about this, Kevin and I. For our British fans, you'll appreciate like we like 2000s British pop rock charts is like we love.
Gold standard.
So I'm a senior in high school, which is like one of the most potent years of music conception of your life. I'm starting to drive, you know, the CDs that are in your car when you're starting to have agency of your destiny, like driving a car, like the, those are the fucking, you know, Olivia.
I remember the first CD I played when I got my license, like it's imprinted.
But that moment I was going to say is like how driver's license is written. Yeah. You know, it's those 19, 18 years old experiences and moments in your car feel like you're the king of the world and everything speaks to you in this really amazing way. It's a really magical time. So Keane, I remember going on a trip, my first trip to London with my parents. I was like 17 or 18 and I saw a music video and I always watched like foreign countries MTV because you know it's not what would be playing here, and it's not this, we were not in the global cultural economy that we are now where I can like have easy as much access to like the top 100 in Nigeria as I do.
You couldn't even
the top
like
and,
buy songs off of iTunes in another country,
right?
I had to order
really find
CDs
it.
Off of like HMV UK.
Oh, nice. Yeah, dude, I remember that shit. Yeah, getting it on. Or I would buy records when I was there. Like, I would go to the record stores locally and see what was going on. So I saw a video for a song by Keane, which was the single they were pushing at the time, was a song called Everybody's Changing. That was, I think, the single off that album. Yeah. It was not Somewhere Only We Know. And I remember buying this record as soon as I could. Maybe I bought it in London or I bought it when I came back. But anyway, my senior year was sort of scored by their album Hopes and Fears. Mm-hmm. And I remember so vividly all the drives like with friends like blasting the shit, you know, that feeling that's just goosebumps central, you know.
Yep.
So imagine my surprise when years later I'm reading a script and it says Somewhere Only We Know by Keane, and I'm like, okay, this isn't exactly like a popular song, like this is a song that I like, I don't ever
was
remember.
It not that popular,
maybe in the
I
UK
thought, I mean I loved it, I don't know,
it was a single.
Did you know the song? In my mind, I didn't know it. Maybe in my mind, I thought it was just this song that, but certainly not as popular as the other ones that we're doing.
Totally,
like,
no.
It was like this. This wouldn't have made the cut of songs that would be obviously done by me.
Sure.
And so I was like, cool. Like, I don't know who's calling these shots, but I happen to have a very personal connection with this song. And I remember doing this record, and I recorded it with the same guy in the same way. Did I go to New York for this one? I think by this point we started doing it in LA.
They were like, it's getting expensive.
It's getting expensive, I know. Yeah, to make it even
like
it wasn't cost
effective.
Right. So I was doing it in LA, and I remember just being really weirded out by it because, like, I love this record. And I'm like, hearing my voice on it, I kept going, shut up. Like, like I want to hear, I forget his name, but I want to hear the real singer. Like, fuck this.
Yeah, totally.
So I didn't dislike it. I just kind of had this, oh God, I don't know. Like, this is such a great record and I don't want to like tarnish this. And that's how I felt. I was like, this is not the best representation of this song that I love so much. And then on the day we were at that school.
Bernstein, yep.
We're Bernstein High. And I have really sensitive eyes. I don't know if it's a light eye thing, but like
that courtyard was so bright.
It was really bright, and it was a day where they had like those giant mirrors. It was like a comedy routine where I was already like, "Fuck, what's going on?" And then they go, "Like, I was melting. My eyes were getting fucking melted out of my sockets." And I remember I have to like sing to Chris, and every angle they went. This was the day that I learned this one trick that I'm sure optometrists would tell me is a terrible idea, but apparently there's a trick where if it's too bright for your eyes, close your eyes and look right at the sun.
I remember you told me that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so just to get your eyes as used to a bright source, I'm sure this is a horrible idea.
Terrible, right?
But I would do it and then open it. I'm like, you have 3 seconds. Because if you're filming this and using this, this becomes the internet meme. It would be like, and action.
Yeah.
Like, it was so hard. So I have to watch it again because I forget. I just remember the entire time shooting it going like, God damn it. It's so bright out. The song is not as good as the original record. And I have to like act, and all I can do is this. I'm like tearing up. And I remember asking, can I wear sunglasses? Like, at the time, like, there was a pink sunglasses thing that was like my trademark before I got in the show.
Totally.
And so they wanted to like put in there. It's the whole thing. But I just remember doing that. It was so hard. I was Squinty McGee doing this. Anyway, maybe they thought I was like really emoting. I was just barely trying to keep my fucking eyes open.
I don't think I noticed it, but that's really funny.
It's also such a good. I forgot how bright that would be. Like filming there at a certain time of day, if
it's
it was sunny
the
out.
Pavement, like it's
reflecting.
Like
it's like really.
Yes.
That was hard, like, but that's what I remember the most.
Gray. Yes.
And so now people have this. But the lesson that I take away from this is a reinforcement of something I wholeheartedly believe in, which is once you make something, in like if you make a piece of art, and it's released to the world, it does not belong to you anymore. Yeah. And it never did in the first place. Like whatever experience people have with something that you made, it belongs to them and their experience and how they experienced it. Like I'm never gonna sit here and like poo-poo people's like positive response to that. Like what a beautiful thing. Like they're supremely unaware of my like kind of funny relationship with it. I'm not saying I dislike it. I just had like a flimsy kind of connection to it, you know, as shooting it and recording it. But people really love it, and like that's all that matters. Like they don't give a shit about
it.
You. Yeah. I love that people love it. So that's something that I owe them to, you know, be like, well, if you love it, then like let's love it together, you know? Like that's all that matters. There was a girl that I did, Khadijah, I'll shout out Khadijah, who was one of our urchins in Little Shop, who she joined the show when she was 18 and she turned 21 during our run. I mean, she's grown up doing this show, and she is, you know, a young Glee. She loves Glee, and hearing she really loves that song, and I love this girl, so I'm just like, fuck yeah, dude, like that's so special. Like what
how
an amazing
cool.
thing. It is so cool. Like getting to
21 year old knows who Keane is, or like a song that Keane
yes
does.
Who like, exactly
because I ultimately mean, it's promoting the band that you love. You're
exactly.
Like, great. They get the check. You get to hear their music. Great.
Exactly. And it's it just like that show was such a gateway for so many other people. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, the first, like, I didn't hear about, I don't know, Led Zeppelin because of, like, growing up in the 70s. It's because they were on a soundtrack for a movie that I loved growing up in the 90s. So it's like, there's got to be some gateway. Like, it's not all going to be because you were there in that moment. Like, there's like, she really got into musical theater and is now doing a musical theater show with me. Because of Glee. And I'm like, that's fucking amazing.
Oh, cool.
Also, you're saying a 21-year-old that knows Keane. I'm like a 21-year-old that knows Glee. I'm like, yes.
That also.
There's still... Yes. I mean, you guys must be experiencing this all the time. Like, it's amazing that there's this new... There still
generation.
Seems to be this interest that I thought would be outdated, but it still seems to... You know,
I noticed
a lot
it
of things.
In New York. Like, in New York when I go, because people are just out more, you're in the streets and things.
Yeah.
LA, I don't really feel it, but if I go to New York, I'm like, damn. Why are you guys still watching this? But it's
well,
amazing.
Also,
I did it for the first time.
You know, there are some things there you go like, that's definitely specific to that time. So I don't know if I would necessarily do that now, but yeah, people seem to not give a shit. They stick to the thing that is the most fun, which is like the vibrancy and the youthfulness and the fun and for lack of a better fucking word, the glee of it all, literally and figuratively, and the music. So yeah, it's, I mean, 21. Yeah.
Crazy.
She loves that shit. I'll take it.
Yeah. It is nice that I feel like that generation that has found it the past couple years inherently understands that it was of a different era, a different time.
Yeah.
Because like, obviously there are things that have not aged well, but like, you know, you can't go back and redo it. It is what it is. And so,
well, because that's not what the show's about. Just in the way that there are things in Friends that I go, that doesn't really work now, but it's such a nominal part of what makes Friends great and sort of like everlasting that it's not going to like, you know, delete it from its like potency.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Jenna, let's talk about one of our favorite places. Target. This is where like Austin and I go on dates. We will run through the aisles of Target.
I love the book selection. Seriously, this is our favorite place to go together. We go all the time. And specifically, Target Circle. It's the same program you know and love, now with automatic deals.
Exactly. Did you know the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target?
Now when you shop in-store or online, Target Circle deals will be automatically applied at checkout.
Plus, with unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's.
Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership.
That's $50 off the regular price.
And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you save an extra 5% your way every day. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same day delivery is subject to terms, applies to orders over $35.
For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
I want to hear about when you first started working with Chris, because obviously, I mean, Chris and Darren, Blaine and Kurt became a worldwide cultural
phenom
sensation. And yeah, as a closeted gay kid growing up, I was desperate for any,
gay?
Sometimes. What's shocking is Darren's not, and I walked up on Darren once. I felt like I caught him watching porn.
Go on, where's this going?
He's sitting in the auditorium, and I go up, and I'm looking at, I see over his shoulder like what he's watching, and I sit next to him, and he looks at me like dad just walked in and caught me. He was watching a Judy Garland video on YouTube.
The Judy Garland Christmas special of 1964.
And all he says is, I know, I'm like gay, but without all
the gay thing.
All the gay stuff.
Thank you. I feel seen. I feel like I'm aspirationally gay.
It was it was the perfect summation. Funny. I was like, thank you.
That's really funny.
I feel very seen by that.
Yeah, it was great.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I'm a season ticket holder, like lifetime subscriber of gay culture. Yes. A huge majority of the things that I admire, aspire to be, try and copy. It's all from queer culture. So yeah, it's like I make this, no. Yes. I'm no pretense about my absolute love of what we can affectionately call gay shit. Gay shit is my shit, 100%.
So how did you feel coming in to the show to that storyline? Like how?
Right.
Well, you know, we were talking about earlier about me having this background in, creating stuff and music. And in many regards, it's this sort of Slumdog Millionaire moment where like the questions asked were the answers that I'd kind of come in knowing just by sheer coincidence and serendipity. I talked about this to great length when we were kind of going around the press circuit of like my time on Glee when I really came in. But dude, I grew up in San Francisco in the 90s. Like I have, not that that makes me some fucking like hyper authority on the gay experience. I wasn't about to like straight-splain gayness in any way or shape or form. And I think anytime I talk about this, people who are maybe perhaps a less attuned to the grace of allowing people to have their experience in relativity to others might kind of misconstrue this what I'm trying to say. But I came in with, luckily, I think the tools to kind of really appreciate what I was doing in mm-hmm. some way. And again, that doesn't make me some fucking saint or anything. I just so happened to have had a very strong and comfortable mm-hmm. relationship with queerness itself. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a thing that I was like, oh God, like it's just like so much of my, like I live a very culturally queer life. Mm-hmm. Like the people around me and like the things that I like, it's just such a part of the way that I experience life
mm-hmm. yeah.
that getting yeah. to be the guy that got to represent that mm-hmm. I felt was a huge responsibility, but also I was like, man, I am glad that it's me because I don't mind talking about this or like I don't mm-hmm. get skittish about mm-hmm. like, oh, I gotta talk. It's like, no, I love this is a community of men mm-hmm. and women that I love dearly and feel mm-hmm. so connected to
mm-hmm.
like on so many levels that I go, phew, like it'd be this, like if, you know, if mm-hmm. I'm playing like a fucking like pro baseball player, I'd be like, fuck, I don't know anything about, like I know
right.
basic sort of like surface level shit about baseball, but like
you've seen Moneyball,
like yeah, I saw Moneyball, like I like the Giants, like I know the players that I grew up loving, but I can't talk literally inside baseball,
right?
But like there is the gay struggle, the gay narrative that I grew up around, I had enough understanding of and comfort yeah. with.
It wasn't foreign
that it yeah. wasn't foreign. And again, I'm not saying I was an expert or that like I was the only person for the job, by no fucking means. I just go, well, and compared to a lot of other people, like I perhaps was well suited to be put in this mm-hmm. position. Yeah, obviously there's still a right. lot to learn and still a lot to kind of navigate, but like it didn't scare me. It was
yeah.
wildly exciting. Like it was mm-hmm. a very fun thing to be a part of. Now, speaking of gay shit, this is one of my favorite stories with meeting Chris Colfer. So Chris, and we used to joke on paper, and I think Chris would corroborate this, that on paper, like I'm like culturally way gayer than Chris. A wonderful thing that Chris said to me once was, I think I was talking about like old movies or some like, you know, broad stereotype about like, you know, like gay men, about like knowing like old Hollywood musicals or stuff like this, that is mm-hmm. yeah, they're stereotypes. And I was like going off on like some movie or some musical, and I was like, you don't know blah blah blah. And then Chris famously said to me, he's like, oh, can I just be gay without the whole like gay thing?
Very
and he's right. Very like that, there, you know, there's a spectrum of all experiences. Yeah. Like it's yeah. unfair that there are certain things that you're expected to be familiar with. Like that's just ridiculous, you know.
100%.
So I happen to know a certain amount of things just because it interested me. But why am I bringing that up? So gay shit. So when I meet Chris, and you know, I've watched him on TV. Like I know how much people love him. Like I'm supremely aware of like this relationship. Any time spent with him will be near impossible outside of Glee once the episode is on. So guys, and I give full, this is a very sweet story, which is why I will forever have such affection for Chris Colfer. I met him the first day. It was a scene where we were at Bernstein, tomato, tomato. Yeah. And we go, like Karofsky, Max Adler, who's the first person I ever met from Glee, by the way, who's why he's always such a sweetheart in my book. He was so nice to me that first day. He like pins him up against the fucking like wall, and you know, there's the three guys that I meet is Max Adler and Chris Colfer. And for anybody listening going like, where is he going with this gay shit thing? Oh, buckle your seatbelts. So I had tickets to go see Sutton Foster.
Jesus.
Do her concert, her cabaret concert, bro that I am, to go see her at UCLA.
You see,
and
this is what I'm saying. Darren is gayer than me, and I've done a lot
Thank
of gay
you.
Shit.
Yeah.
I'm dead.
Yeah. Yep. I love that I can say this now. I think that like the culture around has more of like a tongue-in-cheek yeah. relationship with yeah. getting to talk about what we're talking about. If I said this years ago, people would be get so many things in a twist about what I'm saying. It's like, dude, like come on, we're all having fun here. Like we all love each other. We yeah. all like respect each other's like
experience. I vouch for Darren.
Yeah, Thank you very much. Wow. So I have tickets to go see Sutton fucking Foster.
Of course you do.
Across town. I think like the next day or that night. If it's that night, then I really like owe Chris even more credit. I've just met this person, okay? And he's like a big deal, right? Yeah. He's like a very recognizable like cultural figure at this point.
Yeah.
And I say like, "Hey man, like, and this is just how I operate. Like, hey, if we're going to be doing this thing together, it'd be nice to get dinner sometime and like maybe talk about what we're going to do and get to know each other a little better if we're going to spend time with each other." And I remember saying that. I was like, "Dude, you know, it'd be nice to kind of talk about this stuff." And I remember thinking, like, as soon as the episode comes out, we can never be seen together in public because that'd just be weird. Or it would make this person feel uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So mm-hmm. I said, "Hey, man, I have an extra ticket to see Sutton Foster tonight. Like, do you want to go? Like, my treat. Like, let's get some dinner, get to know each other a little bit because we have all these scenes coming up, and it'd be nice to, you know, just to start this relationship in a more personal way than what we're doing on set." And bless his fucking heart, he said yes.
Aww.
Chris Colfer, who doesn't leave his house,
like true,
said yes
doesn't.
To me.
It's really sweet.
And certainly at this time, and it was really sweet. We went to UC. I forget the concert space in UCLA. I don't know if they still do it, but whatever concert series they had, we went to go see her. And I remember being around people, like everyone's just bum rushing him, taking pictures, and I feel kind of bad. And he was already pretty good at like, you know, like balancing that act of being gracious, but you know, not trying to start a thing. And we went to go see Sutton Foster, and it was awesome because Sutton Foster rules.
And
then we got sushi afterwards, and I was just asking about I forget my questions, but I was asking about the part, I was asking about the process, and just trying to do as much as I could. And I think that is the last and only time we ever went out, just the two of us, in like a public space. And I'm so glad. We'll always have Sutton Foster, me and Chris.
Yeah.
Oh,
special.
I love that.
Isn't that a nice story? I love telling really that story about Chris. Yeah. But also, that's gay as fuck.
And I had tickets to
in the best way possible.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
I'm actually
dead. Isn't that great? So yeah, that's how it all started. That was my first like day with another, because I had done stuff. I don't know if I've even shot with the Warblers at this point, but either way, I had never met anybody from your guys' set. We were two different planets for a long time.
Well,
I was like on my own show with
people, you guys,
a different building.
By the time we ever interacted with you guys were your own like click family
crew.
Unit thing.
Yeah.
And I mean, I even remember like tour was really the first time I ever got to spend time with you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like personally, I'll never forget like walking around Toronto by myself. And you know me, Jenna, I'm always the last one of the party, but I'll be there.
Always last one.
Right. In so many ways, literally and figuratively. I'm the last one to know everything because I never know what's going on. But I'll get there eventually. If you guys are throwing a party, I'll be there. I'll just be there at like 2 in the morning, ready to go.
Literally.
Jenna, let's talk about one of our favorite places, Target. This is where like Austin and I go on dates. We will run through the aisles of Target. I love the book selection. Seriously, this is our favorite place to go together. We go all the time, and specifically Target Circle. It's the same program you know and love, now with automatic deals.
Exactly. Did you know the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target?
Now when you shop in-store or online, Target Circle deals will be automatically applied at checkout.
Plus, with unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's.
Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership.
That's $50 off the regular price.
And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you save an extra 5% your way every day. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same day delivery is subject to terms, applies to orders over $35.
For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circlecard.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, "Well, I had this career before, but it was a waste." And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
I will say this in your defense. I was just having this conversation with somebody yesterday about people who are really, really present. And like John Groff is up there. Matt Bomer is up there, your brother. And
yeah, of course, yeah.
You're up there because I think when you are really present and whatever you're doing, you might be the last one to get somewhere or find out something because you're just like, you're face to face.
Present.
Whatever's in front of you, you are really there and engaged in it. And
that's,
I think it's
true.
A
Thank
really
you.
Admirable
I appreciate that.
Trait.
It's very true.
Well, well, this is why I was bugging out about not being here. Like, if I'm really, I always say I'm LA's worst nightmare with making plans, because if I say I'm going to be there, I'll fucking be there. Like, I'm, yeah. And if I'm not, I'm going to explain why and what happened. If you're the kind of person that meets me at a party, go, let's drink sometime. I go, okay. And I fucking remember it. And I make time and plans because you said, let's get drinks. So I go, okay. Like, there's no casualness. If you have a thing, like, I'll fucking be there. Like, don't say come through if you don't want me to come through. Because I'll fucking come through.
Yeah, it's true.
But having said that, this was the setup to being in Toronto and just kind of like walking around on my own, just doing my thing. I remember just getting drinks with the Warblers. We had a really fun day. Whatever it was, I was just walking around. And I remember walking into a bar and Naya and Diana were just like having drinks in the back. And at this point, I don't really know them. They're just these two like beautiful, like angelic ladies that I've been somewhat in proximity of. And I remember it was like, oh, hey, what's going on? And they're like, yeah, come sit down. And we like kind of tied one on and having a good time. And I just remember there was like, at the end of that, I was like, so good to meet you guys. You guys are a lot of fun. This is great.
Because so
I hadn't really, I had never spent time with them, you know, I, like ran into them in a bar because I, again, we were in separate spaces, but that was like the first time I ever got to hang out and talk with them a little bit. So yeah, in many ways that was how did that come up, Kev? I was talking about just
the
Warblers being their own thing.
And the tour. You were talking about tour, like
the tour, yeah.
Finally being able to hang out with you. That's
exactly.
Right.
Those tour moments were so special.
Were really
like
separate.
When we would pair off or like group up in different groupings and like go around a city and do things. I loved those moments.
Did you guys know that what we were doing was extraordinary? Because I fucking did. Like, I definitely knew, not saying we were extraordinary, I'm saying the circumstance
right.
of, like,
totally,
the
totally.
Arena tour, I was supremely aware in the moment. I was like, this is not how people do things in any situation unless
if
you're,
you know, the music
like, the
world,
point,
then I think you have a different perspective.
I knew.
For sure.
I
right,
fully.
Yeah, because you had toured around a little bit, yeah.
The
I knew that, like,
knew.
Yeah, I was like, so
I
we
think
get
we were
be,
the only ones.
Maybe, agreed. Yeah, because, well, to be fair, like, nobody really there
music.
Signed up that they were to gonna be, like, you know, pseudo-pop stars.
No, it's exactly what you were saying, because I remember when we got to London and the girls were having a tough go of it the first day, and I remember walking to the stage, and, you know, people were like, I just want to go home and see my family, and I was like, we have 7 sold-out shows at the O2. That is never happening again for any of us. That is bonkers. People work their entire lives to hope they
could happen,
to do
but
that.
Statistically not
no,
in your favor.
Yeah. And it's just like absolutely insane. But in that moment, I also had the realization that I'm with a lot of people who have been on Broadway. And if someone said to me, you have to go do X amount of shows on Broadway and that's all you're doing, I'd be like, fuck, I don't want to do that, because that is not my dream. That is
right,
at that age, I had zero relationship to musical theater.
That's right. That's right.
And so me getting to go to O2 or whatever arena that we were at was my dream realized. And so I understood that, okay, these people don't have the perspective because this was never their dream to do this.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Like nobody, and why would we have? I mean, even I, like, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I had like massive touring experience. I just had, I don't know, I just kind of objectively knew.
The wherewithal to know. Yeah.
What was happening and like getting, you know, our own plane and our own bus. I was like, Jesus Christ, like that was insane. Yeah.
I think there were just different priorities people had at that time. People, a lot of the girls like wanted to see their family. They wanted to rest. They wanted to go home.
Which understandably,
hindsight,
for you guys, for sure. Yes, you had a tough, I have to give you guys credit. And I always talk about this when people ask ask about like the sort of boot camp that was Glee. Again, my time in that show, I completely acknowledge, was so charmed. Like again, I had the golden ticket of like coming in, you know, after you guys had built it, like the machine was built, again, turnkey apartment, all the amenities furnished, everything. Like everything was kind of handed to me in a way that I count my lucky stars every day. I cannot believe the extraordinary circumstances on which I got to just ride the magic carpet. Mm-hmm. On top of this, by the time I had joined it, I've done the reverse engineering and kind of like added it up. You guys shot your pilot. You did the Australia thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
You did this promo in Australia, like a mall tour in Australia.
Wow. No, then in the US.
Then you shot more, a back nine, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, correct me if I'm wrong, and then you did like a mini tour, like a Radio City thing.
It was four cities.
Then you, four cities. And then you went right back into shooting season two. Mm-hmm. And then right after season two, you went on this tour.
Yes.
You had like a good 2 to 3 years, maybe 2 years, of just like fucking nonstop. Mm-hmm. I come in at like the 11th hour.
You're like, hey guys, we're like, he has too much energy.
This guy has way too much energy. Yeah, we are tired.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I'm not shooting every day. I'm shooting like maybe a day or two. And when I do, it's just my shit. As opposed to like, you guys are in the crew, so it's like those long days where it's someone else's thing and it's exhausting, right? Because you're like, I'll show up if I'm doing my thing. But, you know, giving everybody representation on the pie was hard, right? Mm-hmm. So for me, like, it was all, if I was there, then I was doing something. Even on the tour, guys, if you remember, you did 85% of the show. I park my fucking blazered ass on stage for like 10 minutes, do 3 songs, and Bob's your uncle.
Yeah.
And I was out.
Oh, we'd be heading to stage, and I'd see Darren backstage, like, not dressed. I was like, oh, yeah, he's got another hour.
Yeah, like on a skateboard, just cruising around a fucking arena, traveling around the world.
Like, walking in with food. The crowd is in there. The show is starting in minutes, and he just, like, walks in, like, hey, guys, have a good show.
Yeah. I'm telling you, like, I know how, like, I would have punched me in the fucking dick. I would have been like, fuck this guy. Like, I totally understood what was going on. And, like, I'm playing video games with the fucking warblers in the back because you guys are working your asses off upstairs doing all the stuff. And I came on for the last few numbers with you guys. But, the warblers came up for, like, just a couple songs and, like, and that was it. So it was, again, so charming for me. But when I was realizing what was happening, I was like, these guys are so... Like they've been run ragged.
Mm-hmm.
And this did cause very understandable contention. I know there was a lot of stuff with... I think we got watches out of it.
Oh, God.
It's hilarious.
We did. We got watches.
Yeah. There was a bit of a, wow, you guys have been working really hard. So...
I know.
Here's a
some
watch.
Rolexes. I mean, I'm a kid. Like, listen, my grandkids are going to get that fucking watch. Like, I love that watch.
I still got mine.
I mean, I insured mine, and then it got stolen, so I was
yours did get stolen. He made so
Cord and I wear it all the time. Cord was with me just a couple days ago. He came to see Little Shop, and we went out afterwards. We had the same watch.
Did.
On. I was like,
Cordy.
So also, you had your brother, Matt Bomer, come visit you. How was that?
I did. He didn't tell me.
I
like knowing when people come to shows. You'll know this once you guys do Little Shop or whatever Broadway show or whatever theater show you do one day. Some people are very like, I don't like knowing. I get too nervous. I love knowing who's in the audience because it makes me work harder.
Mm.
Where I'm like, oh, this
me
one's for
too.
Kevin. Or if like me I'm tired, too. It's like a matinee on a Saturday, Jenna. And like if you and I are sitting there going like, do you know anybody? And you say no. And I say, I don't know anybody either. We go, okay, let's just like,
just for
like,
each
we won't
other.
Phone it in, but let's just like kind of we can put a lid on it. We won't go 10.
We say
10.
C plus.
Yeah, exactly. C plus passing grade performance, just to save our energy for the Saturday night performance. Mm-hmm. But if you told me fucking Sam Rockwell's in the house, I go, oh shit.
Yeah.
Let's go. Coffee.
Exactly.
Bang. Like, let's do it for Sam
Rockwell.
You
know him, because I'd be like,
I have to know him. I know. Well, but I get excited about that, and not to disrespect any of the people who are there to see you and to your audience. You know, you do it every day, and you're tired. You need some juice. So, I remember he didn't tell me, and I was like, man, how come you didn't tell me you were here? But I saw him afterwards, and he looked like a fucking god.
He always looks like a god. Oh, are you kidding?
God, he is so
gorgeous,
painfully handsome. It's like,
I don't understand
piercing
it.
Eyes. I know.
Yeah, I say this about Evan Rachel Wood too, especially in the show. Yeah. She had the hair, but gorgeous. They look like American war propaganda.
Yes. Yeah,
that's totally
like,
right.
Like if I saw a poster of Matt Bomer pointing at me with that jawline and those eyes and a nice suit being like, join us, I'll be like, okay, I'll jump on a fucking mine for you. Yeah. You seem like a sensible, handsome gentleman.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it's painful, and it's worse in person.
Because you like would there, hope like, that it's not as good as
good
it looks
in person, but it is.
No,
he is
a gorgeous man. Holy shit. When I heard that he was playing my brother, I was like, I'm very flattered, but like...
Oh, I love it. I totally buy it.
You guys
it's
were
one of my
so
favorite episodes
together.
Of this season. Yeah. And it is the funniest performance. He gives the funniest fucking performance. It was underrated in my book until I rewatched it and was like, what? How did I miss this?
I gotta rewatch that.
You should.
It's so good. I love that episode.
My relationship with Matt would evolve because he ended up directing me on Versace and was
so great.
Oh,
shut up.
Great.
He directed
an episode. He was so great. It was so fun. Oh my God. What a dear,
that was
sweet,
also so great.
Lovely man. He should his likeness should be like protected by the US government. Like he's one of our finest specimens.
He is.
Just like a smooth.
He's as nice
smooth,
as he is hot.
Human. Yes.
Yeah. He's actually nicer than he is hot. Because actually it's not, I don't think he can be anything more than he is hot. So he's he's probably just
nicer
slightly nicer, less nicer than he is hot, because any more than
perfect,
the world
God.
Would explode. Yeah,
so he came too, which is annoying.
You know what? This is gonna find Matt Bomer, so I'm just gonna go ahead and say, you know what? Fuck you, Matt Bomer.
Yeah.
Fuck you, Matt Bomer.
And your beautiful family. The whole thing, just take
too
it down
much
a notch.
Goodness. Like,
too
come
much
on.
Good. No more of you, please. Copy, paste. More Matt Bomers, please.
No, we love Matt Bomer. Okay, I have a rapid fire for you, Darren.
You know this isn't going to go well. You know you're going to ask me a quick thing, and I'm going to give you a 20-minute answer.
It's
you
not.
Know
but then
happen.
I have a question for you, and then you can tell your story. So I have a lineup here. Okay.
Okay.
She has a plan.
Okay. So what is your favorite song from Glee? And it could be performance, it could be song, it could be experience. You pick. You just pick one. You don't have to. It doesn't have to be.
I'll say Jacob Artist was one of the most talented parts of that show. And had he joined the first season, he would be Justin Timberlake.
Mm-hmm.
I think he would be at a place where he'd be, if that's what he wanted to do, because that being that level requires the drive to want to do that. So I'm not saying if he wanted it, I think that could have been in his future. So he did many songs that I just remember going like,
wow.
This kid is amazing.
Yeah.
Remember when he did Rhythm Nation?
Yeah. Yes.
Without
yes.
You?
Yes.
Like, without you! I was going to say,
that
his
was
without you
one.
Was,
was
one of my
one.
Favorites. It was one of my so favorite
we
things
all
to watch.
But just in that Dog choir room, like, what?
With the strings and the thing. Oh,
his
so
voice,
good.
He just sounded so beautiful. He looks great. He dances great. He sings great. Like, I just was so obsessed. He was, like... It's all about timing. Like, I think at that point, you know, the sort of the white hot flame of Glee had started to wane a little bit in the public sort of like appetite, and by no fault of his own, I'm always shocked when people say, "What's your favorite part of Glee?" and I say Jacob Artist, and they're like, and they don't know who I'm talking about. I'm like, you mean the kid that fucking came in and like rocked the fucking shit out of it?
Yeah,
like
love that answer.
I don't even remember his character name.
Jake.
Was it Jake? Maybe that's why I don't remember, because it's just his name. Jake. God. I also love reminding people that Phineas was on our show. That's always a fun thing.
I actually don't think I ever met him.
Really?
We just didn't.
I had a,
he was there on I Lived.
I had an at-length conversation. You know what's crazy? Is Phineas performs, even though he didn't record it, he's like lip-syncing. I have Phineas on camera performing a song that I wrote and produced.
Stop.
Because I wrote a song called Rise that was on an episode where the new kids sang it.
Yeah.
And it was just weird now that I go, like, I wouldn't do for Phineas cut, but boy, Phineas has a Darren Criss cut.
Yeah.
He doesn't really, because he's just lip syncing. He didn't actually do anything on it. But Phineas, just as far as the kids that came in the latter hours of Glee, even though Jay came much earlier than Phineas. I remember talking to Phineas at, I think I told him this story recently, because he's like about town, like, holy shit. Actually, it's not true. He's not about town, but boy, I ran into him and me getting excited, wanting to talk to him and like wondering if I'd get the opportunity because he's, you know, basically like he is the A team at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I was at this event with him and I was reminding him, because this is what happened. This is the story. I remember when because he was 17.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? Because my sister told me a story a couple weeks ago about how, because she was there that day and talked with him for a long time. She's like, he said like, my sister and I just like are starting to make some music.
Yes. So this is what I remember. And maybe my memory is augmenting it because obviously we now know what kind of became of them. Mm-hmm. But we talked a lot about music. And even then, I remember being very taken with him. And you know, you meet people with energy where they're eloquent about a thing that I'm like, I'm just going to go ahead and bet the fucking farm on you're probably very good.
He talked like he was 30 years old. Like,
totally.
Exactly. He was an old soul. Exactly. Yeah. He was totally. Like, we were talking about production and music writing and guitar playing. And I was like, this is a teenager. And like in my mind, the dog years between like 17 and I'm 26 or something. Like I'm almost 10 years older than this guy. And I was like, you're so young. And he's talking about producing music and writing music. And I was really impressed. And I remember he invited me. He's like, I have a thing with my sister. And I don't know what their age gap is. What is it? Like 5 years?
I don't know.
Something like that, I think.
Yeah. Let's say it's 5 years. So Billy's 12. Okay.
Oh, my God.
I may be getting the math wrong. Just for the purpose of the story, like if it's a 5 years, she's very, very, very young. So I'm sitting, we're talking about this, and he's like, I ask this anytime my musicians, I was like, you guys gigging or anything? And I remember he's like, actually, we're playing like a little fair. Me and my sister were doing this thing. It's like in our neighborhood. We're playing, it was maybe like a street fair or something. Or some small thing. Maybe I've gotten it wrong. If Phineas ever hears this, he'll be like, dude, it was the fucking troubadour. Like, who knows? But whatever it was some small thing with his sister. But I just remember him saying, come through. And maybe like, that sounds great, man. I don't know if I'll be able to make it, but, you know. Anyway, like I said, you ask one question, I'll give you different answers. So Jacob Artist, without you, that's one. That's like any of the stuff that he did I thought was so beautiful and I was very taken with. And I like to shout it out because I don't want people to not, like, remember that moment, which I thought was so cool.
No, it's truly such a good one.
Jenna, let's talk about one of our favorite places, Target. This is where, like, Austin and I go on dates. We will run through the aisles of Target. I love the book selection. Seriously, this is our favorite place to go together. We go all the time. And specifically, Target Circle. It's the same program you know and love, now with automatic deals.
Exactly. Did you know the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target?
Now when you shop in-store or online, Target Circle deals will be automatically applied at checkout.
Plus, with unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's.
Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership.
That's $50 off the regular price.
And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you save an extra 5% your way every day. Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same day delivery is subject to terms, applies to orders over $35.
For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots as I sit down with inspiring women like Misty Copeland, Brooke Shields, Vanessa Hudgens, and so many more. We dive into how these women made their pivot and their mindset shifts that happened as a result. It's a podcast about women, their stories, and how their pivot became their success. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
Thank you for taking the light, and you're going to shine it all over the world, and it makes me really happy.
I never imagined that I would get the chance to carry this honor and help be a part of this legacy.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Okay. What was the most, and I don't know if you will know this because you didn't really watch Glee all that much. Do you have like an, we talk about unhinged storylines, like very off kilter or bad storylines that were like actually really wild. Do you have any in your memory that you felt like were really crazy?
Much like the difficulty I have mentioning my favorite song, because there were hundreds of times, there was hundreds of songs we recorded. There were hundreds of unhinged storylines that I can't even remember.
What do you mean?
Which ones?
You're right.
I almost don't want to say it because I don't want to even remind people that it happened.
Exactly. Okay,
guys, I'll say it. Dude, Blaine and Karofsky ended up dating.
Yeah.
Remember that happened? That's what I'm saying. If I hadn't said it, you wouldn't have remembered it because your brain kind of blocks it out.
I would have never remembered it. We would have. We'll watch it.
My brain has, I forget about all that stuff.
So we block it from our memory too, Darren.
Well, not like consciously. It clearly my brain hasn't prioritized it as very important, which is another reason why I'm embarrassed that I missed last week. So my brain did. My frontal lobe did not. In conflict. Something knew that I had to be somewhere, but my frontal lobe was
tied
to my calendar. Anyway, okay. Both my frontal and
fine
other lobes aren't. Yeah, that was, can agree that storyline was wacky. And Max is like a great pal.
Yeah.
You know, I love Max, and I see Max often.
The sweetest.
Like, sort of like biannual like lunch, like 4-hour lunch dates where we just talk about everything. And So I care about Max very much, and every now and then when we're talking, it'll like dawn on us like, did that happen? Or like, nah. That would be absurd.
It would be, and it was.
But it happened, so, you know.
Okay, this one's easy, and this is my last one. We ask everybody this question. So what is the feeling that Glee leaves you with?
It's the gift that keeps on giving. I would say for lack of a better fucking answer, it's the cliche that I don't want to deliver, but fucking Glee, man. It's one of the great titles of the show. Like, it is such a gleeful experience. I truly, like, I know there's a lot of, like, you know, hairy things that people may think they know happen on the show or project happen to the show. Maybe because I'm a happy idiot. Maybe because I can block out that stuff. Maybe because I'm just in the right place at the right time. Maybe because I am late to the party, Chris, and I never was privy to a lot of whatever difficulty or contention that may or may not have existed between people and situations. I had an A-fucking-plus experience on that show. I loved every minute. I loved every person, truly.
You did.
Anytime people ask me about Glee, I'll go, you want the tea? I'll give you the tea. I'll tell you everything that I know because all of it is fucking glowingly positive.
Mm-hmm. It's literally Darren's experience.
I have a positive, wonderful story about every single person individually that if anybody ever said anything, well, I don't know, I heard this, I'd be like, tell you what, you want to hear a really, really wonderful story about that person?
Mm-hmm.
Then I have them. I have them all. I have all the receipts. On great moments with everybody, Glee was so gleeful for me. It was a joy. Mm-hmm. It was a joyous experience, and it was a fucking blast. I loved working on that show. I had so much fun with you guys.
You did. I believe you.
Yeah.
I totally believe you.
Yeah. Again, happy idiot. Like, that's just the way I process that kind of experience. Like,
I love it, though. It's not everybody's experience, and it certainly wasn't everybody's experience, but, like, for you, it was. And it was very real and very honest. And, like, every day, Darren came in with a smile on his face. I'm not kidding. I wish I could say
anything. I was careful with it, too, because I'd be like, you know, I'm very aware of whatever energy I give off, because I don't ever want to alienate or antagonize people that aren't particularly like, you know, like happy-go-lucky, because I don't want to be a dick. Like, I don't want to let my positivity like rain on the fun of you're not. Yeah, so like I try and like put a lid on it, you know, and I was very careful to not. And like not to say every, like, listen, we had hard days, but like for, on the whole, I was always like, this is rad, this is great, you know?
Yes.
Like there were certain days that people were like, where shit was tough and we're tired, or it was like something bad is going on, that in the, on the inside, I'd be like pushing down the desire to be like, yeah, but guys, isn't this rad?
Yeah.
Because it's so true.
It's very
I would just
true.
Like get a punch from like every, and you would have rightfully, like, it would have been, Darren, shut the fuck up. Not now. That would have been the correct response, which is why I would.
What I said to you.
You never did.
I think some people did. I feel like we could talk to each other like that. I feel like some people did.
Yeah, and actually, if you did, like, I would never be like, oh, God. I'd be like, yeah, I deserve that.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think I understood. I had a very bird's eye view experience of the whole thing where I understood where you guys were coming from, the experience that you had, and I tried to be as sensitive to that experience as possible, but I concurrently had my own experience that was like this sort of semi-charmed life, as it were, you know, this fucking charmed Candyland experience that set me up for a really joyous experience that it could have been a lot of other things, and it just so happened to not be. Mm-hmm. And in the way that I kind of am, you know, not wanting to bring up certain storylines because my brain blocked them out, like if there's anything bad that happened, I've kind of like blocked it out because because they're so eclipsed by things that were like so extraordinary and wild that I just like, I don't care to like give that any more shelf life in my brain. Like I got too much shit to remember and cherish and love to like leave room for any bullshit that like would taint how shiny some of those beautiful moments really were, you know?
That's
like
really nice.
It's a one in a million experience. One in a zillion experience.
Yeah.
Like who gets that? You know, at that age.
Not everybody.
Yeah.
Ever in their whole life. Okay, you're allowed to tell your story now.
I will say this kind of connects to the Potter stuff. I mean, there's so many weird sort of side stories, but so if you can't tell by my general disposition, I am a Comic-Con convention going person. Right, I went to Comic-Con before we were asked to go to Comic-Con. Like, I waited in line all night. I like was that's like a thing. It was like it was a fun like pilgrimage I would make growing up in San Francisco to San Diego to go to Comic-Con. Mm-hmm. And my first year. So I graduated in like May. I moved to LA. So July Comic-Con. I went down to Comic-Con with my buddy Joey Richter, who would actually end up being on Glee. He was one of the guys in I Like Big Butts.
Love
it. That's wild. He was the Ron Weasley to my Harry Potter in the Potter stuff. He's a big figure in the Star Kid sort of pantheon. And so we drove down, and I think we like slept outside all night to be in Hall H to see the Lost panel, because it was the last season of Lost. And we had a really great time, and like sneaking into parties, and like just it was always a fun thing for us. And actually, to make it even crazier, is I remember we drove from my Eastwick callback to that.
Wow!
Oh, funny.
Yeah, that was wild. And I remember because I had my Warner Brothers pass for going on that lot for that callback, and I remember going to the Eastwick panel. And going, waiting in line for autographs from Rebecca Romijn and all the stars of Eastwick, and I had them sign my
no
pass.
No way!
I've been looking for that pass everywhere. I don't know where it is, but like Rebecca Romijn like signed it, and then like 2 weeks later, I was like on set with them, being like, "I met you guys at Comic-Con."
Oh,
wow!
All right, so that's its own little side story. But we were also there. A Harry Potter musical had just been kind of released, and so we went down because we were also asked to talk on a fan panel. Like Harry Potter fandom, and this is really exciting because so we got to spend our Saturday doing all the fun stuff, and Sunday tends to be like perhaps not as like the high demand stuff, but we're in this smaller hall and we're like on this panel talking about this musical that we did and like the Harry Potter fandom as we've been experiencing it. And the joke I had at the time on this panel, I don't know if there's video of it, of this panel across the way in Hall H, where I just spent the night sleeping outside of the previous night, was the Glee panel. in Hall H, right? I'm not on the show. I haven't auditioned for the show. I have, wow. but this is the earlier one before college. I had auditioned for it, but Glee is happening, and I'm like making jokes during the Harry Potter panel, saying like, just so you guys know, just to clarify, this is not the Glee panel. We don't want any confusion here. That's actually in Hall H. And I kept saying that, like making fun of ourselves for not being as popular as Glee. The next year, when they asked me to be on that panel again, if I wanted to come back, I had to say no because I was on the Glee panel in Hall H.
Yes. That's right. I remember that.
How cool.
So I have a lot of weird sort of ins and outs.
How special.
Like parallel. That's it's really a special cool. little thing. So it's all kind of, life's wacky. Stick around, man. Crazy writers. Every season, they've got some crazy writers. Some unhinged storylines, dare I say.
Yeah.
In our own special life.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah. So a lot of special weird things like that were happening for me. And that's kind of how I felt about Glee. They were full of these little magic little holy shit moments that continue. That can like with Somewhere Only We Know. They pop up in new ways and they keep happening. And getting to reflect upon it with you guys make them more real in my life. I had remember 10 years ago. I don't know if I want to put this on the video, but you know when your phone does whatever.
Yeah.
It was, for some reason, it was the pictures from what the fox say?
Oh, God, don't even.
A somewhat notorious Kevin's moment. I know we were ending on such a positive
moment here. Things were going so well.
They were. Actually, and for some reason it was that, and it was me with like sort of almost Lucius Malfoy hair because of... They gave me this do for the applause Gaga.
Oh,
thing.
Right.
Oh, that was so fun.
It wasn't What the Fox Say. It was for Roar.
Oh,
I just,
wow.
It was a jungle. So maybe I'm putting those two together. Yeah, oh, that's what it was. Yeah. Because it would have been the Katy Gaga. Sense. So yeah. I was in Gaga, and the next picture
Similar
was jungle
time.
Stuff.
Yes.
And you and Jenna, you were in like a Tarzan-y kind of
that's
like
right,
loincloth-y.
With the green
oh,
skirt.
Yeah. I took a bunch of pictures of all of you.
Oh yeah. Yes, we had some time that day because I have a lot of pictures that day.
Yeah, that one comes up on my phone a lot. I'd probably just gotten a new phone then. That's why it's like the earliest memory my phone has. So again, things come up all the time, and I'm always reminded how of the things I really missed.
Oh, look at that.
One of them not being the podcast today.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm using this in a different context, but yes, that was my sort of button for
Darren.
Things that I miss, including you guys.
We love you, and we miss you.
Love you guys.
Come back.
Yeah, it's nice to do this. I love getting to do this with you guys, truly. It's so
fun. We really
fun.
Appreciate
Seriously,
you.
Seriously, thank you for doing this again. And
we're in four. We're in three. We just finished three, and we're starting four. So
is this the first episode of the season, or the last episode of three?
The last episode of the season.
Wow!
It's
the
end of season three.
What an honor!
You're
season,
a finale.
The season True. Three finale.
You are a finale.
Wow!
You are a finale.
Thank you for spending this much time with us.
I know.
Are you kidding?
Really appreciate
I love it.
It. Really, really appreciate it.
We have to have you back. There's even more. There's always more.
There's so much more.
Yeah.
There's
so
always
much.
More.
Always more.
You're the best.
Always more.
Thank you for like being
thank you so
unfiltered
much.
And talking through all of these things.
I love it.
Love you, Darren.
Lots of kisses. Bye, guys.
Congrats on the
thank
beautiful
you.
Family. You're just,
thanks, man.
You guys are the best.
Bye, guys.
We hope you enjoyed. That is Darren Criss.
I feel like if you've listened to this entire interview, you get a very good sense of who Darren is.
And truly, it is true. Like, he'd show up happy, like, most days. He'd be, like, the one that you'd be, like, even if you were in a bad mood that day, you'd be, like, okay, I'm going to just, like, put a smile on my face because, you know what, you're right. We should be lucky that we're here, and we should enjoy it because this is, it's just, like, being reminded and pulled out of it sometimes. And Darren was, like, always that person.
Yes.
If he wasn't napping on Figgins' couch.
Very consistently the cheerleader on set.
Correct.
In that way.
Well, we hope you enjoyed the episode, and if you haven't listened to part one, go back and listen.
And thank you so much to Darren. That was incredible. Thank you for giving us that much of your time and opening up to us. And that's what you really missed. Thanks for listening, and follow us on Instagram at And That's What You Really Missed Pod. Make sure to write us a review and leave us 5 stars. See you next time.
Jenna, is there any place better than Target?
No.
So let's talk about Target Circle. It's the same program you know and love now with automatic deals.
Did you know the all-new Target Circle is the free and easy way to get the most deals at Target?
So now when you shop in-store or online, Target Circle deals will be automatically applied at checkout.
Plus, with the unlimited same-day delivery, Target Circle 360 is the fastest way to get your order to your door or someone else's.
Right now, sign up for Target Circle 360 for just $49 for your first year of membership.
That's $50 off the regular price. And when you pay with your Target Circle card, you save an extra 5% your way every day.
Visit target.com/circle or the Target app for more details. Same day delivery is subject to terms. Applies to orders over $35.
For 5% discount, restrictions apply. See program rules in store or at target.com/circle card.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Therapy for Black Girls podcast is your space to explore mental health, personal development, and all of the small decisions we can make to become the best possible versions of ourselves. I'm your host, Dr. Joy Harden Bradford, a licensed psychologist in Atlanta, Georgia, and I can't wait for you to join the conversation every Wednesday. Listen to the Therapy for Black Girls podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Take good care, and we'll see you there.